Rodgers gets the snap. Blitz is on. Rodgers scrambles left, winds up rainbow. He's got Cobb at the 10 to the 5.
Yes!
To the end zone. Touchdown and a dagger. Oh, my goodness. An NFC North Division championship dagger of 47 yards.
Patriots trailing by 3. Sets up with a throw to the right side. Catch made by Edelman. Turns to the end zone. Oh. And he runs it past the 5. He dives to the end zone. Touchdown. And the lead for the Patriots.
Tom Brady with his 351st touchdown pass. The fifth fastest ever to it. You can have your Manning. I'll take my Brady. It's on. It is on.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another edition of the JMRA podcast, Joe Montana's Right Arm, the podcast version, as we prepare you for the 2014 NFL season. It's been a long time in between drinks of water from the podcasting side. We had to stop abruptly last September for a bevy of work-related reasons, but hopefully we can keep the ball rolling here. A lot of cool stuff to go over with you here as we get you set for the 14 season, as we barrel our way towards the month of July and training camps and all that stuff. It's getting to be about that time to start thinking about fantasy football, so I wanted to take some time out today and go over the top 10 fantasy football quarterbacks out there. And I have them ranked, and I will go through my rankings. I am a part of a contingent that will be releasing a fantasy football magazine coming up here in the upcoming week. So we have our own rankings for that. I will give you my rankings. The rankings for the magazine are a little bit different, but we will share those with you today and root really to going over a few of the positions over the next few podcasts: running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, et cetera, et cetera. We'll even talk about kickers and defenses for like maybe like 2 minutes or something like that in an upcoming podcast. But I wanted to take time out today to talk about the quarterbacks, because quarterbacking, I love talking about quarterbacks. It is tremendous. Whether it's fantasy football, the actual NFL, like real life issues in the NFL, whether or not Tom Brady's a top 5 elite quarterback, which is a ridiculous issue. We'll get into that a little bit later. But I just love talking about this, and I love being back here. By the way, a couple of things of quick note, self-gratuitous plugging. You can check us out, of course, on joemontanasrightarm.com. Also on Twitter, at joemsrightarm as well. There's a Facebook page. And there's even a Tumblr account. The Tumblr account isn't Joe Montana's Right Arm, because I put all kinds of stuff up there. It's ilikefootballandstuff.tumblr.com. So again, that's ilikefootballandstuff.tumblr.com if you need a good chuckle, pop culture stuff, etc., etc. So it's a good time over there. But anyway, that's the rundown of what's going on. And what we're going to do first, before we get into the actual crux of today's main conversation, I wanted to get into a few football-heavy topics that have come up over the last couple of days. We're taping this actually on a Saturday. And actually, as I'm taping this, Jimmy Rollins just broke the all-time record for hits by a Philadelphia Philly. So congrats, J-Roll, beating out one of my idols growing up as a kid, Mike Schmidt. Now, 2,235 hits for J-Roll, one of the few actual bright spots for the Philadelphia Phillies. But anyways, we're going to talk about some football-related issues that are surrounding the National Football League. I wanted to first mention, because this just happened on Friday night, the death of one of the true icons in the NFL. Chuck Knoll, the former head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, passed away Friday night at the age of 82 in a Pittsburgh suburb due to natural causes. And hey, anyone who knows me, who's read the blog, knows my somewhat public dislike of the Steelers, in the sense that, man, they just love to club you over the head with how great they were in the 70s. Having said that, there's only one man in the history of football, including Vince Lombardi himself, that has won 4 Super Bowls as a head coach. There's only one man, and it's Chuck Knoll. 4 Super Bowls over the course of 6 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They repeated twice, not once, but twice. So they're really the only team in the history of the Super Bowl era that has pulled off that trick twice. You know, you had the Packers, they repeated. The Dolphins repeated. The 49ers repeated. The Cowboys repeated. The Patriots repeated. Denver as well. The Steelers did it twice during arguably the most competitive era of football ever. So Chuck Knoll really took, and people forget this too, and a lot of the younger Steeler fans may not even realize this, the Pittsburgh Steelers were horrible up until Chuck Knoll got there. Historically, just in a brutal franchise. Back during the days when they had the combined, they actually combined forces with the Eagles to call themselves the Steagles. I mean, this was a bad, bad franchise. And, of course, the Rooney family, who, you know, forever they've had their ties in with the Steelers franchise. But they, along with Chuck Knoll, helped right the ship in the 70s. And then you could see their progression going along in the early 70s. They challenged the undefeated Dolphins in 1972 in the AFC title game, lost that. And then that's really when the ball got rolling for them soon after. And won the title in 74 and 75 and then repeated it again in 78 and 79. And really, four Super Bowls in 6 years, no one's been able to duplicate that act. So Chuck Knoll, one of the great legends in NFL history, passing away at the age of 82, coached the Steelers from 1969 all the way up until 1991, the end of the 91 season. Truly one of the great head coaches in NFL history. Our condolences go out to the family of Chuck Knoll, and of course Steelers Nation as well. On the another side of the spectrum, we're going to go out to Seattle and talk about Marshawn Lynch. We'll really delve a little bit more into this topic next week when we talk about fantasy running backs. Marshawn Lynch has, you're hearing rumors about whether or not he's going to retire and all of these things. And it recently was announced, or at least reported by Jordan Babineau, who's a former teammate of Marshawn Lynch, now an analyst with NFL Network. He said that Lynch told him he was just looking for a token of appreciation. Now, I don't want to give away what we're going to talk about with the running backs, but I will say this. Marshawn Lynch the last few years has been a top 5-6 fantasy running back. If you have a chance to take Marshawn Lynch in this year's fantasy draft, I'd keep on looking elsewhere. A lot of touches, including the postseason last year. You know, one of the tricks of teams that get to the playoffs a lot is that's extra games. And teams that get deep into the playoffs, like Seattle has done now the last couple of years, extra wear and tear for a guy who already had some tread on the tires anyways. I would take my eye somewhere else for a running back besides Marshawn Lynch. But that's another discussion for another day. But he wants a token of his appreciation. And look, the guy, yes, he helped carry Seattle to the Super Bowl. There's no question about that. But granted, the defense did a lot of the lifting. But also, too, and this is a problem with running backs that teams run into, and I don't know how you fix this as an NFL GM. I mean, there's an easy fix for it, I guess. These guys want to be paid after they've already had their big-time run. And that's kind of difficult. I'm going to pay you for what you did versus for what you're going to do. And I've never agreed with that. I always think if you're going to pay somebody, you pay them, you see a little bit of what they can do, and then you pay them accordingly. I don't think you pay somebody at what it is amount to a lifetime achievement award for being a great running back or a good running back over the span of X number of years. It can't work that way. You have to pay somebody. If I'm giving you $10 million, I want $10 million worth of a performance, not $10 million based off of what you did for the previous 4 or 5 years. I don't think you can run your business that way. But NFL teams do it a lot, and let's see if Seattle does it. There's been some rumblings out of Seattle that, regardless of what Lynch does, they're going to go running back by committee next year. So we shall see what Seattle comes up with here, but I don't think it in any way, shape, or form should the Seahawks bust the bank for Marshawn Lynch. I mean, no offense, but you can find Marshawn Lynches out there. You can't. It's easier to find Marshawn Lynch's than it is to find guys like Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman. That's a matter of fact, at least in my opinion. It's easier to find running backs than it is lockdown solid defenders, which obviously Seattle has plenty of. Okay, let's get now into the matter of talking about the top 10 quarterbacks in fantasy football. So what we're going to do is count them down from 10 to 1. This is based on projections, potential projections of what they'll do this year, not necessarily of what they did last year. Keep in mind of that because that's going to come into play a little bit later on. Let's start off with number 10. And speaking of the aforementioned Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks, it is the quarterback we'll start first with in Seattle, Russell Wilson. Wilson coming in after a really solid fantasy campaign last year. A lot of people, you know, you take a look at Seattle and you get caught up with Marshawn Lynch, you get caught up with the defense. But when you take a look at what Russell Wilson did last year, he was actually eighth in standard scoring for fantasy quarterbacks a season ago. Almost 3,400 yards last year through the air, 26 touchdown passes to just 9 interceptions. So he had a very good year throwing the football. So that's a pretty impressive run through for him. Also, he can run the football effectively as well, average about 5 yards per carry, about 539 yards on the ground a year ago. So he's a guy who can give you a little bit of that dual threat action, which obviously adds to his fantasy value as well. Second in the NFL in rushing yardage for a quarterback, Cam Newton, number one, who you will hear from a little bit later on as we get to this list. Now, as far as Wilson goes in reference to this year, again, we just mentioned the Marshawn Lynch situation. Obviously, that's going to have some impact on Russell Wilson. Do the Seahawks come in with the game plan of whether Marshawn Lynch is here or not, we're going to do what we do, and that's try to play within the means and not get into these shootouts with teams. You don't really need to because of that defense. Do you play it conservative? Do you run the football a great deal again this year and then use that passing game for really key spots, third down conversion, second and short, things like that after the running game has done a lot of the heavy lifting? I think that's one thing they have to think about. If Marshawn Lynch is not going to be a major part of their plans this year rushing the football, then does that change what they're going to ask of Russell Wilson this year as he enters his third year in the NFL? That's a big question mark for Seattle moving forward. The receiving core, hey, it's not a bad receiving core at all when you have guys like Sidney Rice and also Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse, who came up with some big catches in the postseason last year. That is not a wildly impressive receiving core. It's good, but you take a look at the depth. You know, Percy Harvin obviously has some issues staying on the football field. They finally got him on the field for the Super Bowl, and you saw what happened. He only played in 8 games last year, he only played in 1 game last year. One game last year in the regular season. So that's what you're dealing with. On paper, it doesn't look like a bad receiving core, but when you start factoring in, is Harvin going to be on the field? What are you going to get out of Sidney Rice, who's had injury issues in the past? And then Doug Baldwin, who had 50 catches a season ago, you know, what do you get from him? And also, remember, they lost Golden Tate as well in the offseason. He goes to Detroit now. So it's a little bit of an up-in-the-air situation with the receiving core. I think you take a look at the pieces being in place, they're set, but it's just a matter of whether or not they can stay healthy, because the MO is they may not. So we'll give Wilson the 10th spot there, and now move on to number 9. This is troubling for me. This is a tough one.
Sudfeld stands up left with Tompkins split to the right. Brady off the shotgun snap. Looks to the end zone. Steps up. Throws to the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Kenbrell Tompkins! Second of the afternoon for the New England rookie. And Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell Tompkins. Leaping.
He got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
The number 9 quarterback on our top 10 countdown is none other than Thomas Edward Patrick Brady. That's right, Tom Brady checking in at number 9 on the countdown. One of the ridiculous storylines that has evolved during this offseason is whether or not Tom Brady is a top 5 quarterback still. I think that's pointless in the sense that, yes, he is a top 5 quarterback. I think when you look at his weapons, he does not have top 5 offensive weapons anymore. And, you know, the thing I think Brady bashers often say is, well, when he was winning Super Bowls, he didn't have great receivers. That's correct. But a couple of things have changed. Number one, his defense, not so good anymore. And the other part, too, is let's be honest, at 36 years old, you're going to need a little bit more help than what you did when you were 24, 25, 26 years old. Plus, the game has changed a lot from the time when they were winning Super Bowls to right now. I think also when you take a look at how last year played out, look at that receiving core, okay? Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola when he was in the lineup, Rob Gronkowski when he was in the lineup, Aaron Dobson, Josh Boyce, the rookie receivers, also Kimbrell Tompkins. That's not a top fleet of receivers. Certainly he doesn't have what Peyton Manning has out in Denver. So I think to sit here and say he's not a top 5 quarterback, is he not a top 5 quarterback because of eroding skills or the supporting cast or both? And I think when you look at the fantasy side of this, I think that's a little bit more of a plausible argument. Is he a top 5 quarterback in fantasy? With that supporting cast, I don't think he is. When you take a look at his production last year as the season wore on, it took them some time to get used to having no Aaron Hernandez, no Wes Welker, and trying to get all of those rookie receivers up to speed while defenses are really trying to shut down Rob Gronkowski as the only legit viable threat in the passing game that really creates some form of a mismatch. As the season wore on, you could see around October, November, they started to turn the corner a little bit when Brady put up that big game against Pittsburgh, threw for over 400 yards, had 4 touchdowns. And then after that game against Denver, things slowly changed a bit. They played well, at least offensively, late enough to win that game over Houston by 3. Threw for 400 yards in the win against Cleveland, but that was the problem. In that game against Cleveland late in the year, Rob Gronkowski tears up his knee, and that's where things slowly deteriorated for New England's offense. You take a look at the number of passes and attempts Brady needed to hit certain benchmark numbers as far as yardage goes, you can see he just did not have the guys with the breakaway ability that he had in previous years that could open up the field. No Gronkowski, and you take a look at the last, including the postseason, he had 4 straight games, no 300-yard passing performances, threw for 277 in the AFC title game against Denver, a lot of that coming late, but the games in week 16, 17, and then the divisional round, all under 200 yards passing. Certainly, some of that had to do with the weather and playing those games in inclement conditions, including the game against Indianapolis and then again against Buffalo, both games in Foxborough, both played in rainstorms, essentially. But you could see that a lot of the themes that popped up throughout the year were coming up to be a problem again in those games. You know, their receivers, with the exception of Edelman and Gronkowski, really had a hard time getting open on a consistent basis last year. So I think moving forward to 2014, they've made some changes as far as the personnel goes with the wide receiver department. They bring in Brandon LaFell to potentially help out matters with the Patriots offense. I don't know if that's going to be enough. You have Gronkowski back. How quickly can he come back from tearing an ACL? And also, can he stay on the field? You know, this is a guy that's been routinely injured over the last couple of seasons now. And his ability to stay out there on the field over a consistent span is going to have a lot of a determining factor on how quickly Brady can get back into that top five mode as far as being a fantasy quarterback goes. So you look at the receivers, you have Edelman, you have Dobson, you have LaFell, you have Amendola and Tompkins. Who really steps up and becomes a key cog out of that receiver core? That's really the issues you have to deal with. And out of those guys, can any of them stretch the field? And that's the difference for Brady versus previous years. Does not have the guy to stretch the field. So we'll keep him at number 9 in the countdown. Heading towards number 8, Robert Griffin III, another quarterback who has that dual threat ability. And coming off of really a rough year for him, 16 touchdown passes, 12 interceptions, just over 3,000 yards, missed three games last year, and it was really an up-and-down season for him. But this year could be a little different. Pierre Garçon and the addition of DeSean Jackson could very easily help him. He gets Jordan Reed back at tight end. That could be one of the better receiving cores in the NFC. So when you take a look at guys who can make a leap next year into that top five area, Robert Griffin III has potential to do that. If he can keep that knee healthy, if he can run effectively, and of course if he can throw the ball effectively, there's certainly a guy there who can really be one of the special players in this league. But a lot of baggage there with everything that happened last year, with the injuries, the benching, all of the what reportedly is kind of some of the diva-ish behavior of RG3. Those things kind of put together, you wonder if he can get back into 2012 form. I think that'll be a big issue for the Redskins. But we move on to number 7, and Colin Kaepernick of the San Francisco 49ers. Kaepernick, of course, recently signing that 6-year contract worth $126 million. That's some pretty significant bread there that the 49ers signed him to. The only blip on the radar here for Kaepernick in the offseason was that bizarre incident with his teammate Quentin Patton and Ricardo Lockett of the Seahawks, where they were involved in allegedly some sort of wrongdoing in a Miami hotel. They have been cleared of that matter. So full steam ahead here for Kaepernick as he gets ready for the season. And hey, when you look at him, he falls into that same scope we talked about with Russell Wilson and RG3, a guy who can not only throw the football, but also run it as well. The question you have about Kaepernick is, how accurate is he going to be? When you take a look at Kaepernick a season ago, certainly one of the more well-regarded fantasy quarterbacks, actually finished 9th, a little bit below Russell Wilson and ahead of Tony Romo, who did not play in a game, played one fewer game than Kaepernick. So Kaepernick was on that back end of the top 10 in fantasy quarterback scoring last year. This year, the receiving core, Anquan Boldin back again for the 49ers, Michael Crabtree, but they add Stevie Johnson into the mix as well, which should be an effective addition for this 49er offense. Also, they convinced Brandon Lloyd to come out of his self-imposed exile. He'll be on the roster. We'll see what kind of talent he can bring to the table at this point in his career. Frank Gore back for the 49ers offense. So you take a look at what the 49ers have brought to the table over the last couple of years here with Kaepernick at the helm at quarterback. It's a team that loves to run the football, and they pick their spots throwing. What they can do, though, is because of Crabtree and Boldin, they really are two very physical receivers. But is that going to be enough for Kaepernick to come up with those explosive plays for the passing game? And that's really what holds him back from getting into that top five stratosphere at this point, being a more consistent passer. And if he can do that, then he's got a shot to be one of the top fantasy quarterbacks in, you know, that not quite the Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, Manning quintet of yesteryear, but he can get there, potentially, if he can put all of this together. So last year for Kaepernick, decent year, 21 touchdown passes to 8 interceptions at a passer rating of 91.6. Not a fantastic out-of-this-world year that you'd say, oh, this guy's going to get a 6-year, $126 million contract. But the 49ers believe this is the guy for them, and they're going to go to battle with him. And it's going to be interesting to see whether or not he can kind of hang in there. The one thing you don't like from Kaepernick, besides the inaccuracy, a lot of sacks last year. 39 times Kaepernick was sacked a year ago. So you'd like to see that decreased a little bit more from the 49ers' perspective. On to number 6. And Cam Newton, who I must say, Cam Newton is my captain of the all-bust team this year because I think he's going to take a big step back. Newton finished 3rd last year in standard scoring for fantasy quarterbacks in large part of his ability to rush the football. He threw for just under 3,400 yards, 24 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 585 yards rushing, which led all quarterbacks in the NFL last year, and also had six rushing touchdowns. So he basically had 30 total touchdowns, which is outstanding in any other year. But then you look at Peyton Manning's numbers, and you're like, well, maybe it's not that great. But it was good enough for Newton to reach to number three in standard scoring for fantasy quarterbacks. However, in the meantime, since the season has ended, Carolina's receiving core depleted. Steve Smith is gone. He's out towards Baltimore. Brandon LaFell, we mentioned him earlier, he is now a New England Patriot. And that really left the cabinet very bare for Cam Newton. When you look at this receiving core next year, this is not going to remind you of Rice and Taylor out in San Francisco years ago. Jason Avant, Jericho Cotchery, and the rookie Kelvin Benjamin, and Tyquan Underwood. Those are your top four receivers for the Carolina Panthers heading into the 2014 season. I've watched Jason Avant during his career as an Eagle. Jericho Cotchery, nice receiver. He's not a game changer for you. Kelvin Benjamin, I mean, I don't think he is going to set the world on fire when he steps in and puts on a Panthers jersey. And then Tyquan Underwood is famous for two things: his box-shaped haircut and being cut, I believe, the day before Super Bowl 46 between the Patriots and Giants. So, if that's what he's going to go to battle with, including tight end Greg Olsen, who really, when you take a look at all the receivers and tight ends, he's the most reliable guy that they have. He had 73 catches last year and six touchdowns. He's easily the most reliable player in that offense that Cam Newton will throw to on a consistent basis. But, man, that is not a sharp-looking group. So I would definitely proceed with caution with Cam Newton as you take a look at him heading into this season. This is a guy that's really progressed into a solid fantasy quarterback because of his ability to run the football to such a strong degree. But this year, he's going to have to do a lot more than running with that receiving core. That is going to be a big, big challenge for the Carolina Panthers. All right, quick break, and when we come back, we'll take a look at the next five, the top five. This is the JMRA podcast, Joe Montana's RightArm.com. Stay tuned. We'll have more right after this.
Four-man rush again. Peyton bounces around, throws a deep ball. He wants to Demaryius Thomas is there. DT's got it in the foot race. 15, 10, 5, touchdown Denver. And there's the touchdown that breaks the all-time record for the most points in a single season in NFL history.
Back here on the JMRA podcast, Joe Montana's right arm, bringing you another podcasting edition, and we have the first podcast of the 2014 NFL season that is soon to be underway as we head to segment two and taking a look at the 1 through 5 on the top 10 fantasy quarterbacks this year. And it's time to take a look at number 5, and when we do that, we'll make our way out to Indianapolis and Andrew Luck. You know, with the Colts, it's a shame that that season kind of progressed the way that it did for Indianapolis last year. They got in the playoffs, won a game, lost to the Patriots in the divisional round, but the injury to Reggie Wayne, I thought, really impacted that passing game enough to where they weren't quite as strong as they were in the first half, the first, you know, 4 or 5 games of the season. Luck last year, 3,800 yards passing, 23 touchdown passes, 9 interceptions, 4 rushing touchdowns, ran for 377 yards on the ground. One of the better totals for a quarterback in the NFL. And that gets lost, by the way. Luck can pull it down and take off. And that's something that adds to his fantasy value. As you look at guys, you can do a little bit of both and help pick up some cheapy points, if you will, through running. Whether it be gaining yardage or scoring touchdowns and or both. As we look towards this year for Luck, clearly you expect some level of progression for Andrew Luck heading into his third year in the NFL. And really with that receiving core, I think that's where the big question mark is for Indianapolis. T.Y. Hilton, you know what you're going to get out of him. He's been a pretty solid receiver for Andrew Luck and the Colts during his early time. Reggie Wayne coming back into the mix after tearing a knee ligament. You know, when you have those serious knee injuries, how quickly can you come back? In the case of Reggie Wayne, who is 35 years old, he'll be 36 in November. Can he come back and be as successful as he was in previous years after suffering a torn ACL? So Wayne trying to get back into Pro Bowl form. He'll have Hilton, as we said, to join him in the receiving corps, and Hakeem Nicks as well, joining matters from the New York Giants. Nicks had a bizarre season last year. 15 games played, caught 56 passes for 896 yards, no touchdowns. Very unusual to see a guy put up those type of numbers without anything to show for it, but that was a part of the Giants' struggles in 2013. Now Nicks with the Indianapolis Colts, and that can certainly help Andrew Luck. So if Wayne is healthy, he has, you know, a guy in Nicks who has flashed you Pro Bowl form, certainly in the Super Bowl year with the Giants. We obviously know Wayne's resume, and T.Y. Hilton is a solid young receiver as well. So those three guys out there with Kobe Fleener as well. He caught 52 passes a season ago. Dwayne Allen as well. More so the blocking side of the tight end position for the Colts. But when you look at the parts there and the pieces for the Indianapolis Colts, Luck can certainly catapult himself in the top five with his production coming up this year in 2014. Now on to number four. And Matthew Stafford. Stafford, of course, you want to talk about the definition of a fantasy football quarterback. It's Matthew Stafford with the offense that he plays in with the Detroit Lions. Life is a lot easier when you have to throw to Calvin Johnson. So I think that's one of the things you have to clearly examine is the fact that as long as Stafford has Calvin Johnson, threw for 5,000 yards during that crazy 2011 season when the passing numbers were just through the roof. 41 touchdown passes, 5,000 yards, and then last year, 29 touchdown passes. So he came back after a little bit of a lull in 2012, but 29 touchdown passes, 19 interceptions, threw for 4,650 yards a season ago. So a good total. Finished certainly right up there in the standard scoring for fantasy quarterbacks last year. He was seventh in the scoring in realm of standard scoring for fantasy quarterbacks last year, just behind Cincinnati's Andy Dalton. So number four is where we'll have Matthew Stafford. The Lions offensively, of course, we talked about Calvin Johnson. They go out and get Golden Tate. That should help out the receiving core. And they draft tight end Eric Ebron as well. So that mix there, I mean, that's a pretty potent offense. You have Ebron and Pettigrew at the tight end spot, and then Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate as your receivers. He's going to be right up there again. And then, of course, Reggie Bush, who has shown you the ability to catch passes out of the backfield, 54 receptions last year, 506 yards through the air, and three touchdown receptions for Bush as well. Now to number three. And I believe I need the assistance of some audio.
Ball is hit as it comes out and it's picked off by the Seahawks. Far sideline, Malcolm Smith, 50, 45, he's going to go. 30, nobody's going to touch him. Cuts back 20, 10, the Legion of Boom, the Seahawks defense. They do it again. Holy catfish. Touchdown, Seahawks.
All right. That's probably a cheap shot there. As you can tell, Peyton Manning, number three in the top 10 fantasy football quarterback rankings this year. Now, not to ruin it for those of you who may go out and purchase a few fantasy football guides this year, but there is a school of thought out there that does not have Peyton Manning at number one, and I will explain why. This is a guy who threw for 55 touchdowns. Don't even get me started. Some of the performances last year, You go back and look at the game logs. Some of it was just overkill and unnecessary. You really need to run up totals like that on teams? Clearly, Denver was better than most of the teams they played on their schedule and won by a wide margin. You don't need to keep throwing haymakers. But anyway, that's obviously what Payton wanted to do last year. And he threw for 55 touchdowns, 5,400 yards, 5,407 to be exact, through the air. So 55 touchdown passes and 10 interceptions. You don't need to be a mathematician to figure out that that might be the greatest NFL season ever by a quarterback statistically, because it is. That's the best, period. But as I've written before on many occasions, when you see guys put up these career years like this, it is very easy to sit back and say, hey, okay, yeah, sure, I will draft him. I'll draft him. I'll roll the dice on the fact that he'll do it again. I got news for you. He's not going to throw for 55 touchdowns again this year. He's not going to throw for 5,400 yards this year. Look, it is difficult to play at that level, to play at it 2 years in a row. And again, you got to take into account, too, who he is playing against. Granted, it was only four games. But the NFC East last year, from the perspective of pass defense, was an abomination. They were horrible. Let's go through here quickly while we have a chance some of these passing numbers for Manning against the NFC East, just as a comparison. 307 yards, two touchdowns against the Giants. You go a few weeks later, they beat the Eagles' brains in, 52-20. 327 yards, four touchdown passes. A week later against Dallas, 414 yards and four touchdowns. You go back further down the line against Washington, 354 yards and four touchdowns. Yes, he did that a lot last year against a lot of teams, NFC East excluded. But Washington, Philadelphia, and Dallas in particular were amongst the worst passing defenses in the NFL last year. Who is he going against this year from the NFC? That's right, the NFC West. So Seattle, San Francisco, two of the tougher defenses in the NFL. Arizona, also see St. Louis as well. So teams that do things that Peyton Manning does not like, as far as, like, you know, generally hitting him and rushing the passer effectively, he'll be seeing that on his schedule a little bit more this year than he did last year. Also, changes in personnel as well. Emmanuel Sanders in to help replace, you would think, Eric Decker. Now, I think you're going to see Sanders in the slot potentially too. Denver has a few things to figure out. Number one, Wes Welker, he's going to be back for the Broncos this year, but obviously with the concussions last year, you wonder how much Denver can count on him through the course of an entire season. So I think he'll play reasonably well when he's out there on the field again this year, but this is a guy, again, who was getting a little older, and with the concussions, he's not a safe play on a repeated basis, in my opinion. So Demaryius Thomas, you know what you're going to get from him. I mean, he has just been out of this world the last two seasons with Peyton Manning. Clearly, that's Peyton Manning's Marvin Harrison, if you want to take a look at what he was doing when he was with the Indianapolis Colts. Julius Thomas, solid tight end, strong tight end. But, you know, you have a change there with Decker. Now, I know they bring in Sanders to try to help kind of stem the tide a little bit, but Decker was a guy who could get down the field, much like Sanders, but that ability to get that same level of production on a game-in, game-out basis, you wonder about that, because also, the last few games last year, teams really did a good job of taking things away from Peyton Manning. You know, Manning, during the regular season, this shows you just how awesome statistically he was last year. He had one game in the regular season where he threw for under 250 yards, and that was that crazy game against New England back on November 24th, threw for just 150 yards in a game where the wind played a significant factor in how that game played out as far as the passing games go. But go forward to the playoffs. 25 of 36, 230 yards for two touchdowns against San Diego. Threw for the 400 yards against the Patriots. And then in the Super Bowl, 280 yards and a touchdown. It did not come as easily for Peyton down the stretch as it did earlier on in the year. And is that going to be the trend as this year progresses, or will we regress back to the Star Wars level of performance where you're seeing 400 yards and 4 and 5 and 7 touchdown passes during the course of games for Peyton Manning? I think that anytime a guy has that type of season, he's bound to regress. Tom Brady had the ultimate regression. He had his knee torn up in the first game of the year against the Kansas City Chiefs in 08 after he had his big 50-touchdown record-setting year in 2007. You wonder what kind of answer defensive coordinators will have for this Broncos offense after they saw Denver put up that just wretched performance during the Super Bowl. Granted that it was against a great defense, but you saw the issues with Denver in that game, not being able to hold on to the football. They led the NFL in fumbles last year. Not rock-solid decision-making by Manning there throughout the game. So, you know, sometimes those things that happen late in the season with these Super Bowl runner-ups, they linger on into the following season, and that'll be one of the interesting aspects of Peyton Manning. And plus, sooner or later, I keep saying this, I'm going to be right one of these days. He's 38 years old. When you're at that type of age, what can you get, again, from a guy of that advanced age? And it's not common for guys who are in that 35 and plus range for them to finish in the top 10 in fantasy scoring. Hasn't happened a lot. I wrote a piece for the blog last year about Manning turning 37 at the time, and you know, taking a look at how he was going to progress as the year wore on. Clearly he had a tremendous year, but the list that was published in that article dealt with the number of guys who have been 35 years and older who have finished in the top 10 in fantasy scoring. And it hasn't been one that's been really consistent as far as production. One thing you want to take a look at here also with Peyton Manning, he has never finished number one in standard scoring for fantasy quarterbacks in consecutive years, which is crazy, considering how great he's been. Never done it 2 years in a row. So you mix that in with some of the personnel tweaks that Denver's done, a little bit more of a defensive-oriented setup. I don't see him getting those type of numbers, and I don't see him getting that close to those type of numbers. I don't think he's going to throw for 50 touchdowns. I could see him throwing for 40, but you know, even if he throws for 40, that's 15 less than last year. Even if he throws for 4,500 yards, that's almost 1,000 less. So him even playing at a Pro Bowl level is going to be a considerable drop-off, probably, of what he did last year. You just don't put those two types of seasons in a row together, in my opinion. Even the great Peyton Manning, I don't think, will be able to top that. Let's move on to number two and Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. Rodgers, for my money, when everybody's right, at least right now, everybody, if you gave me one guy to pick, okay, as the most talented player in the NFL, from the quarterback side, I think this is the guy. Rodgers can do a little bit of everything, and I think he really is one of, if not the best quarterback in the National Football League. I think he's right up there when you have that discussion right now. If you're going to mention Breeze, if you're going to mention Manning, if you're going to mention Brady, clearly Rodgers has shown you the ability to perform at that Super Bowl winning level. He won Super Bowl 45 in the game's MVP back to end the 2010 season. Now, on to some unhappy news for Aaron Rodgers. I think when you look at him, clearly the injury situation is what has to concern you with Rodgers. Last year, breaks the collarbone, misses a ton of time during the 2013 regular season, comes back late to help the Packers win the NFC North, gets them into the playoffs. But you'd like to see him stay on that field on a lot more of a consistent basis. When you look at his numbers last year, 2,536 yards, 17 touchdown passes, nine games played. That's not what you're looking for, and if you drafted him, I know I did in one league, you paid a heavy price for drafting him. So You know, if you have Rodgers, obviously you need to have some sort of contingency plan. This is a guy who has missed at least one game during the course of the season now, three times in his career, and we're going into his seventh year as a starter. So I think that has to concern you. But on the bright side, when he's healthy and he's in rhythm, he's as good as anybody in the sport. 45 touchdown passes in 2011, 39 in 2012, just a 17 last year, but when he was on the field again, still one of the preeminent quarterbacks in the National Football League. So I think Aaron Rodgers, you take a strong, hard look at him as a top-notch fantasy quarterback this year. We have him at number two. And that leaves us with number one, and that, of course, is Drew Brees. It almost seems unfair for Brees to be in a situation where he is routinely playing in a dome. I mean, look at the numbers this guy's put up over the last 3 years. He's thrown for 5,000 yards in three straight years. Three straight years, 5,000 yards. No one had done it except for Dan Marino up until 2008. And now Brees did it in 2008, did it again in 2011, did it again in 2012, did it again in 2013. That obviously shows you how the NFL has evolved. And also, he has led the NFL in touchdown passes for the last six seasons. So, you know, again, going back to the Peyton Manning thing for a second, he had an all-time year, okay? But he's a guy who is 38 years old. When you look at Drew Brees, sure, he's not that much younger than Peyton Manning. He's 35 years old at the moment, but you like, based off of his injury history versus Peyton Manning's injury history and his age, you like, I think, to stick with a guy like that who's going to play indoors, who has some, maybe not as strong of a supporting cast as Peyton Manning, especially with no more Darren Sproles out there in New Orleans, but I think you have to be pretty happy for the cast that Drew Brees will have, brings Brandon Cooks into the mix, a rookie receiver. That will help out immensely. Then to go along, of course, Jimmy Graham, Marquise Colston. It is going to be another banner year, I believe, for the New Orleans Saints passing offense. And just look at the attempts. Right around, you know, 650 passing attempts, well over 450 completions in some cases. He had 446 last year. This is a guy who is averaging 300 yards passing per game over the last three seasons. 322 last year. Is there a drop-off that you have to worry about? I think maybe a little bit. You don't have Lance Moore, one of the security blankets for Drew Brees over the last few years, so I think maybe there'll be an issue there. The Jimmy Graham contract situation is a little weird, so you'd like to see that get settled up. But as a whole, I think Brees is a top guy in fantasy football at the quarterback spot heading into the 2014 season. That will just about wrap it up for us as we remind you that there will be more podcasts headed your way. We'll take a look at running backs and some of the other positional issues as it relates to fantasy football. And again, we'll be back into the mix this year, spinning out podcasts along the way during the summer to help you get ready for your fantasy football season and for the 2014 NFL season as well. Remember, JoeMontanasRightArm.com. You can catch some articles and some amusing posts up there throughout the week. And also, Twitter, JoeM'sRightArm, at JoeM'sRightArm. Remember that. And also on Tumblr, ilikefootballandstuff.tumblr.com. We have tackled the Tumblr world now as well. So you'll find some funny pictures, pop culture nonsense, and along with the other football assorted items along the way as well. Until next time, have a good one, everybody.